Hello, welcome back to Extra Features. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon, still with the bad boys.
Oh, still. It's been a couple of weeks and you're still moving along.
It's raining again today. I can't help it whenever it rains.
Oh, man, sorry. Well, it's episode 85. And we had an episode with the whole crew. And today it's back to you and I to catch up on some more of these outstanding films.
I wonder if my voice is going to last today.
I'm sure it will.
Hopefully. If not, it'll just sound like this.
All right. The first movie on our list is fairly recent. Came out this year. It's called The Mechanic. And it's directed by Simon West. It stars Jason Statham, Ben Foster, and Donald Sutherland. Jason Statham plays Arthur Bishop. He's a mechanic, an elite assassin with a strict code and unique talent for cleanly eliminating targets. It's a job that requires professional perfection and total detachment. And he works for Harry, who signed Donald Sutherland. And Harry sets up the jobs. Anyway, Harry dies, and somehow Harry's son, Steve, ends up approaching him to find the killers and get revenge. So he starts training Ben Foster and the whole thing about how to be an elite killer. So he's a little impulsive. They have an interesting relationship. And it turns out that things aren't necessarily what they seem to be. So
you're right.
And Foster tries to steal from him and tries to eliminate him as well.
Well, Ben Foster tries to eliminate him because he finds out that he killed his dad.
Yeah.
Because he had his dad's special gun.
Right.
It's a regular Jason Statham movie.
Yeah. I mean, this guy makes one a week, it seems.
It's bad. It's awful. Yeah. It's a remake of a Charles Bronson movie, which I've never seen.
I watched this on a plane.
Yeah, that's a good place to watch it.
And you know what? For a plane ride, it was okay.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's a rental.
I would not go out of my way to find this. I would not recommend it, you know, but it was okay.
Can I tell a Ben Foster story?
Sure.
I'm at the film festival and we're at the Ben Foster press conference. We're there a little late. We didn't see him go in.
Yeah.
But we said, we'll try to get him on the way out. So there's a bunch of vehicles, this group of people coming out. We don't see Ben Foster. But
right.
We're like, he's got to be in that car. So we chase the guy we think is Ben Foster. And we go up to the guy, can I get Ben Foster's autograph? He goes, yeah, no problem. Guy takes the stop, passes it in the back.
Uh-huh.
We never saw we had the wrong guy. We just lucked out we got the right car. So Ben Foster signs one.
Yeah.
And goes, we started handing him another thing. He goes, this is ridiculous. In the back seat, we're like, uh-oh.
Okay.
We thought he's done. He's not going to sign.
Yeah.
He opens the car door, gets out, comes around to us.
Oh, yeah.
And goes, guys, I just want to thank you for being so polite and asking for my autograph. Signed everything for all of us.
Oh, well, that's great.
So that's my Ben Foster story. I was so impressed by... He goes, I want to tell you guys we're polite. You didn't rush me. You asked nicely.
Yeah.
Is that not strange?
That is strange.
I don't get that.
I don't find that.
So I got to give love to Ben Foster. I've been a big fan of him since Messenger.
Okay.
I enjoyed him in X-Men.
He's been good. I mean, what was the movie? Oh, it was 310 to Yuma. He's the villain in that, right?
Yeah, which I love the movie, but I don't remember him.
I remember him. He was kind of always playing crazy people. All right, next movie on our list is 2005's Mr. and Mrs. Smith. A bored married couple surprised to learn that they are actually both assassins hired by competing agencies to kill each other. Directed by Doug Liman from Swingers and The Bourne Identity. It stars Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Adam Brody, and Vince Vaughn, Harry Washington, Keith David, Chris Weitz. What do you think?
It's okay. I didn't love it.
This is a fun movie to me. It's fluff.
It's
high quality fluff, and you know they're both assassins, and they don't know that they're assassins. But
well, they know they're assassins.
And they're in love. They're clearly in love, right? So,
but I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this a remake of a Hitchcock Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
You know, there was a Mr. and Mrs. Smith movie that is actually on our list. It's an old.
I've seen it.
Okay.
That's what I want to know.
That's why.
Is this a remake of it, though? Because they don't like each other in that movie either.
Oh, really?
So that's why I always thought this was a remake of it. That's why I originally thought it was when it came out.
Yeah, well, the 1941 Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Carol Lombard and Robert Montgomery.
Yes.
It's about a couple who learns that their marriage was not valid.
Right. So, I mean, this is could be a remake, though. I mean, obviously, you don't need
that. Well, they're not assassins, yes.
But what I'm saying is they do tricks on each other mm-hmm. because they're not married. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And whoever must have, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, same title, married couple,
yeah.
same kind of premise, right? Obviously, they threw out, just kept the title.
Okay.
But they obviously, they're trying to kill each other.
Right.
I'm not saying they're trying to kill each other in Mrs. and Mrs. Smith and Hitchcock, mm-hmm. but it just seems kind of strange that nobody goes back to say this is a remake, because I think it is.
Okay.
Just, if you have to
in
see
spirit.
The, in spirit. No, it's got nothing to do with the original.
Right.
But the ending's kind violence. Of... The, yeah, the tricks are violent instead of not violent in the other one. And the ending is pretty much the same
yeah.
in both films.
Yeah.
So I think this is a remake. It's just that I think people have forgotten the Hitchcock movie. Or maybe I'm just way out in left field here.
Yeah. I think this was... stands on his own. I think it only is a Hitchcock movie reminiscent in title alone. Alright, next movie on our list is 2011's No Strings Attached. Stars, directed by Ivan Reitman, who doesn't do too many films these days. Stars Natalie Portman, Ashton Kutcher, Kevin Klein is Kutcher's father, Keri Lewis, Greta Gerwig, Blake Bell, Olivia Thirlby and so forth. Oh, Ludacris is Olivia Thirlby.
Ooh, Ludacris. Great actor.
So, occasionally in the 15 years since summer camp, Adam and Emma cross paths. When he discovers that an ex-girlfriend is living with his dad, he gets drunk, calls every woman in his cell phone, ends up passed out naked in her living room. By this time, she's a medical resident in L.A. He's a gopher on a Glee-like TV series, hoping to be a writer. She guards her emotion, calling her father's funeral a thing. So after a quick shag and the moments she has before leaving for the hospital, she asks if he wants to have a no-strings-attached, sex-only relationship without romance or complications. Is that a prescription for fun or for danger? So, of course, he falls for her. Like, normally you think as a guy, he'd be like, all right, sex, no hang-ups, whatever, that's great. And then, of course, that's not what he wants, and really not what she wants either, so... I guess. What do you think?
You know what? This movie is much better than it should have been.
I was surprised. It was watchable.
And the writing was very strong at times.
And Natalie Portman is actually always pretty good.
And Kutcher actually does a good job with a decent script.
I like Kutcher. You know, he's not... A lot of people slag him. He's actually...
Did you see Who's Your Boss with Bernie Mac?
No.
Oh. Make sure you watch that. He wants to be good.
That'll change my opinion.
Well, he did some really horrible movies in the beginning. Awful.
I think he's okay on Two and a Half Men now.
I've never seen an episode.
Oh, I love Two and a Half
Men. I know you do, and you know I'll never watch it. So.
And you know what? It's not bad. He's okay. All right, so what would you say?
It's not a buy. It's a definite rent. It's a much stronger film than it should be. It's a basic rom-com, but a well-written rom-com.
Yeah.
And it reminds me so much of that Justin Timberlake, Mila Kunis movie. It was at the same time.
Yes.
I can't remember what it was called. Between Friends?
No, it was Friends with Benefits.
Friends with Benefits. It's the same movie.
Yes.
But totally different at the same time.
Exactly.
Okay.
We're hot. We're buddies. Let's have sex.
Go.
No, I'm not talking to you now.
Oh, well, it's not going to happen, so.
All right. Next movie on our list is Changing Gears Dramatically. 2006 Pan's Labyrinth, directed by Guillermo del Toro.
We've never talked about Pan's Labyrinth.
Never done this movie.
Wow.
Stars Ivan Valero, Adriana Gill, and Sergio Lopez. Now, this is a Spanish film that got a wide release because of Guillermo del Toro's following. And so it's subtitled, but in fascist Spain, 1944, the bookish young stepdaughter of a sadistic army officer escapes into an eerie but captivating fantasy world. So, I really like this movie. Visually, it's fantastic. I remember seeing it at a preview screening in 2006, and not really caring for it. I thought it was okay. Like, her father is so sadistic. He's a son of a gun. And, I do recommend this one. Like most Guillermo films, I recommend it.
Have you seen The Orphanage?
Yeah.
Which we've never done either, which I'm surprised we haven't. I don't know if I'd recommend it. I didn't really like this film. I thought visually stimulating. I think Guillermo talents are in the fantasy world.
Well, the fantasy sequences are hypnotizing. Really,
they are just incredible.
You're right. The movie itself is, it's okay.
It's okay, but I think Guillermo, I was upset when he didn't direct The Hobbit, because I was looking forward to see what he would do with that.
That would have been a very different film, yeah.
Because, I mean, Jackson's an excellent storyteller. I don't have an issue with Jackson, but Guillermo gets that fantasy aspect, I think, better than Jackson.
Yeah.
And that's no fault for Jackson. I mean, Lord of the Rings are amazing.
Yeah.
But Guillermo would have just, I think, done it better. And I don't know if that's true, but the fantasy aspect. I think we would have had a little bit more fairies, a little bit more of something. I think Guillermo would have put in, you know, the guy I'm talking about, you know, the hobbits go through the field, they meet the giant.
Yeah.
He would have been in the movie if Guillermo had done it. I don't think he would have left him out.
All right.
A fantastic movie. I'd say must buy.
I own it on Blu-ray, so yeah.
We knew that was coming.
Yeah. All right, next film, completely out of the blue, another Netflix find, was 2003's Pray for Rock and Roll, directed by Alex Steiermark. Stars Gina Gerson, Lori Petty, and Mark Lucas. It's the story of Jackie and her all-girl rock and roll band, Clam Dandy, and they're trying to make it in the L.A. club scene of the late 1980s. After 10 years of being ignored by record producers, Jackie and the band find hope, and one producer promises to see them play, consider them for our contract. Jackie resolves to play one last gig and throw in the towel if she does not find success. Personal tragedies, however, threaten to rip the band apart, rocking the foundation of friendship and trust that the women have built together. Ultimately, the band must find its strength in music. It is their passion and the thread that holds them together, inspiring them to prevail.
First off, I found this at the Goodwill on DVD.
Uh-huh.
If you can believe this, actually.
Oh, you know, I think I watched this because you gave it to me.
I gave it to you to watch. This is really boring.
Oh, yeah.
Like, lackluster. I mean, Gina Gershon goes both ways.
Yeah.
And you just, the characters are bad. Script writing is atrociously horrible.
It's avoided by all costs.
There's no reason to even watch this film.
Petty is really looking, doesn't look good in this movie.
Does she ever look good, though?
No, not really.
I mean, it's,
I was not impressed.
There's nothing to be impressed. I can't believe it got theatrical release.
I thought it was just direct-to-video, to be honest.
Oh, maybe it was.
I don't know.
Who cares? Piece of junk. Skip.
Yeah, that's not even... It's a trash. Completely trash.
I'm with you 100%.
All right. Jumping back a few years to 1985's Real Genius, directed by Martha Coolidge, stars Val Kilmer, Gabriel Jarrett, and Michelle Mayrink. Teenage geniuses deal with their abilities while developing a laser. Mitch is one of the youngest students ever accepted to a university known for its programs for geniuses. He's partnered up with his roommate, science club legend Chris Knight, on a project to develop a high-powered laser. Together with their hyperkinetic friends, they employ their intellects in their pursuit of bigger blasts, practical jokes, and a deeper understanding of what real genius is. When their final functional laser is stolen by their teacher for a military weapon, they decide to get even. So Val Kilmer, Gabriel Jarrett, Michelle Mayrink, William Atherton. William Atherton.
Excellent actor.
Who else could play the jerk professor like William Atherton? I was really surprised how much I enjoyed this movie.
And I'm going to be the exact opposite. It put me to sleep.
I was expecting this to be a piece of utter crap, and it was watchable. It was like mid-80s crap.
I couldn't take it.
You know, I kind of felt for Michelle Mayrink.
Yeah, like she had a big career.
Yeah, exactly. She was the geek girl.
I never liked this movie. I tried watching it. I didn't get it. I just don't know why I didn't get it. It went over my head.
I missed it when it came out. Never watched it in all these years. And then I read Legend to me, and I'm like, you know what? This is actually kind of a fun movie.
I can't believe you haven't seen this.
No, and Val Kilmer's good in it.
Yeah, I like Val Kilmer as an actor, too. He's pulled up to the size of a Goodyear blimp.
Oh, yeah.
I always like Val Kilmer. I'm looking for his new, forward to his new film in Twix that Coppola did. It's not released yet.
Okay.
And I don't know. I think this one people might like. I know people love this movie.
Yeah.
And I read an article that I had to see it, so I did.
I would recommend this movie.
Would you buy it, though?
No.
So it's a rent for you. And to me, it's a trash. So
yeah,
there you go. Difference.
All right. Our next movie is something called Sanctum that came out this year. It's also known as James Cameron's Sanctum. Directed by Alastair Grierson. It stars Rhys Wakefield, Alison Crutchley, Christopher Baker, and Richard Roxburgh. Oh, and Ian Griffod is in this as well. I forgot about that. So, underwater cave, diving team experiences a life-threatening crisis during an expedition to the unexplored and least accessible cave system in the world. So, this was a 3D film. The underwater cave divers are going through the largest, most beautiful, and least accessible cave system on Earth. They have to go in by helicopter down into it. The tropical storm forces them deep into the caverns, and they must fight raging water, deadly terrain, and creeping panic as they search for an unknown escape route to the sea. Master diver Frank McGuire has explored the South Pacific's Isla Ala caves for months, and when the exit is cut off in a flash flood, they must, including his son, 17-year-old son, they're forced to radically alter their plans. With dwindling supplies, the crew must navigate it. Let this just keep going on. Awful.
What a
boring.
This movie only even got press, I think, because James Cameron produced it.
Oh, man.
It is awful. They go in the caves because they have to get some diver. Yeah. There's some creature down there that kills them all.
Was there a creature down there? I forgot that there was a creature.
Was there a creature?
I don't think so.
The caves just kept falling on them?
I think the caves just keep falling.
I saw this so long ago.
The water's...
It was just this year.
Yes.
And I can't remember anything other than it was a piece of crap.
I watched it in the summer.
And I watched it probably when it came out. What a piece of crap. That's all I remember going, boring. Remember it being very dark.
Yeah.
Hiding things constantly that they're on set somewhere.
He passed trash.
Trash, skip, burn. All right.
Next movie.
I have no idea.
2000s. Sexy Beast. Stars Ray Winstone, Ben Kingsley, Ian McShane, directed by Jonathan Glazer. James Fox is also in this. Julian White, Kevin Kendall, Amanda Redmond. Brutal gangster Dom Logan recruits retired safecracker Gal for one last job, but it goes badly for both of them. He is such a son of a bitch in this movie, Ben Kingsley. He is, you know, he's a London gangster. He's crude, he's violent, he's so not Gandhi.
He is so fantastic in this movie. Yeah. I've never seen a man swear so many times in a sentence and crack me up.
And it's almost comedic, but it's not. It's not over the net because there's an edge of violence to it that you know.
Oh, this movie is just so surreal to me at times that the boulder almost hits the Ray Winstone in the pool.
Yeah.
And the movie's not about the job. You would think this movie is about the job.
Yeah, no.
But it's not about the job.
It's about two men and they're...
And they hate each other.
Yeah, but they're friends.
And they have to be friends because of their profession.
Yeah.
But they do not like each other. Ben Kingsley, I think, one of the best supporting actors win for this. And he deserved it.
Yeah.
And I like the end of this movie when the head gangster knows he killed Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
And then I think Ray Winstone gives up his money. But it doesn't matter if I ruin the end. You need to see the performance of this movie. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
I wish I could swear like Ben Kingsley does in this movie. He does such a good fucking goddamn son of a bitch motherfucker.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't stop the whole movie.
Nope.
Bitch, give me a fucking drink, you fucking cunt. He's just like, this is amazing.
All right. So you recommend, would you buy it?
I would absolutely 100% buy this, which you don't get from the office. This is a 5-star movie in my world.
Really? No, I wouldn't buy this one.
Why not?
I watched it once. This is one of those ones that...
I could watch this again and again.
I tend to buy movies that are visually interesting more than dramatic.
Oh, this is just fun. I would bring this over for people that hadn't seen it just to rewatch it and break up laughing.
Cool.
Well, I think I should have done this for my drama, grade 13.
This would work well as a play.
Absolutely, really well as a play.
All right, same year, 2000, Space Cowboys, directed by Clint Eastwood. Stars Clint, Tommy Lee Jones, Donald Sutherland, and James Garner. James Cromwell is also in it, Marsha Gay Harden, William Devane, Lauren Dean, Courtney Vance, blah, blah, blah. So, the premise is that in 1958, four hotshot test pilots... they think they're going to be the first man into outer space. However, their backstabbing leader disbands them to prevent involvement in the then forming NASA and labels them as non-team players. Flash forward to the present, they are now living docile lives. The electrical engineer has a pleasant retired life in the desert home with his wife. The pilot, who had a penchant for pushing the test plane to the limits, He's now a daredevil crop duster, the navigator is a Baptist minister, and the designer is a womanizing roller coaster designer. Their former boss is now a mission leader in NASA and still has a still despicable. It is here that the main story begins, and it seems that an old Russian communication satellite is about to crash back into the Earth's atmosphere, and somehow American technology designed by Eastwood's character has ended up in the Guardian system, and they must call on the old men to go into outer space to stop it. You know what? This would be a completely forgettable and avoidable movie if not for the strength of the four lead characters, who are all likable actors. I mean, I like all four of these guys, so I watched it on that grounds, and it's fluff. It's not, there's nothing to it. It's just a summer movie. You know, I would never buy this. I would never want to rewatch it. But it was okay for what it was.
There's nothing to say. I agree with everything you said.
If you've never seen it and you like Clint Eastwood movies, you have to watch it.
That's right.
But if you don't care, then pass on it.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah. So you have nothing else to add on that one?
Or? I don't think there is. But other than, do you ever find Marsha Gay Harden attractive?
No, never.
Like, is there a reason why she's a love interest in this movie?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's just because they're all old, so she's gettable for an old man.
I like Tommy Lee Jones in this, though. But I always like Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
I just wish his daughter would try acting occasionally in movies.
The next one on the list, I saw it on the list, and I said I'd seen it, and I couldn't remember what it was. Now I'm looking at it, I'm going, oh, yeah, this movie. 2009's The Tournament, directed by Scott Mann, stars Ving Rhames, Robert Carlyle, Kelly Hugh, Ian Somerhalder, Liam Cunningham, Sebastian, whatever, a bunch of people. So every 7 years, in an unsuspecting town, the tournament takes place. It's a battle royale between 30 of the world's deadliest assassins. The last man standing receives $10 million cash and the title of world's number one, which in itself carries a legendary $1 million bullet price tag. So when they should do future jobs, they can charge $1 million. So 40, not 30, of the world's greatest assassins gather in the next synopsis. Whatever. It's this time it's in English town of Middlesbrough. And so Josh Harlow, who is seeking revenge for the brutal murder of his pregnant wife by one of his competitors. Lai Lai Zhen is a high-kicking, sexy, sharp-shooting Chinese woman hoping to quit the life. Miles Slade is an insane Texan who has entered purely as an excuse to create carnage and chaos. Anton Bogart, a free-running killer who has entered as a test of his own skills. And in amongst everything is Father Joseph McAvoy, alcoholic who has accidentally found himself targeted as one of the players. It is left up to Lai Lai Zhen to keep the priest alive until he can think of a way to get the assassin tracker from his person. Wow. I didn't like this movie. I didn't understand it. It just was strange. Nobody was really good in it. Robert Carlyle is probably the best thing about it. And I think he can play alcoholic priests in his sleep. I think he is an alcoholic priest. So, you know, oh, man. Not good.
This is a piece of crap. Mm-hmm. Absolutely horrible movie. Yeah. And then the best part of it is about the first 10 minutes when they show you all in action, because they don't have to have a script. And then they forgot they had a script.
It makes you cough.
That's just horrible. There is no script in this movie. They run around shooting people.
Yeah.
They try to kill our Jay Jarner.
Yeah.
Oh,
man, are you okay?
No, I'm dying. And then the movie ends. Piece of junk.
Yeah.
Crap.
All right. Trash.
Just stop.
Okay. The next movie on our list is The Trial from 1963. It's an Orson Welles film starring Anthony Perkins, Jean Moreau, Romy Schneider, and of course Orson Welles. So this is based on the Kafka novel. Joseph K. wakes up in the morning, he finds the police are in his room. They tell him he is on trial, but nobody tells him what he is accused of. In order to find out about the reason of this accusation and to protest innocence, he tries to look beyond the facade of the judicial system, but since this remains fruitless, there seems to be no chance for him to escape from this Kafka-esque nightmare, of course, written by Kafka. So, What can I say about The Trial? I really enjoyed it.
I knew that was coming.
I love Orson Welles movies. A really different looking movie.
Yes, and very long shots all the time.
Yeah.
He has always, Perkins has always made it feverishly small.
The landscapes seem to destroy. the bureaucracy and the empty buildings and...
Yeah, he's always made the film lonely. It really does achieve what Kaufman is looking for, but I don't understand this movie.
No?
I didn't really get it. I saw it a long time ago.
Well, it's doublespeak. It's very communist.
Yes.
It's very... The state is in control, but there's no person that you can relate to. You can't go to and say, here's my problem. What can we do to fix this? He can't reach anybody.
That's right.
You are accused. What am I accused of? A crime. What crime? You have to take that up with the government.
I didn't like this movie. Mm-hmm. I liked Orson Welles in it, but I didn't like the movie.
Really?
I didn't understand it.
I liked Perkins.
Perkins was excellent too, but again, I watch the movie, I don't understand. I think that's the whole point of it.
Okay.
I'm not supposed to understand it.
I've read the Kafka novels.
So did that add a little bit more to the movie?
It pretty much captured the spirit of the book.
Okay.
So I would say, yeah, I liked it a lot. And if you're a Welles fan,
you have to see it.
It's one of the few films he completed after 1950. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There aren't a ton of films that he did. Everything.
If Orson Welles was alive today, I was discussing this with somebody, I think he'd be a superstar.
Yeah.
Like he would, because of the independent scene, so big right now, and he would have funding for everything.
Yeah.
And he would be happy and be making millions.
Yeah.
I think he was just a rebel without a cause in his time.
That's true.
He was trying to fight a studio system he couldn't fight.
Well, I think he looked to literature to make great films. And, because, of course, anything that's public domain, you don't have to pay the writer.
Right.
So, and he could shoot at Welles' pace. At that time, he would shoot a little bit here, a little bit there, get the actors together, shoot some more when he got the money together. So he had the financing for this one, so he could actually run it as a straight production from A to B.
Well, I think that was his problem. He needed to get all his financing and shoot the movie, just do it.
Okay. All right, so you don't recommend... I bought this.
I know you did, because this is totally a Kevin movie. When I was watching this, and you recommend it, I'm like, this is a Kevin movie.
All right, cool. All right, well, we're down to our final two, and the next one is a film that has haunted me for years since I saw it on late-night television. It's 1970s Tropic of Cancer. Based on the Henry Miller book, it stars Rip Torn, James T. Callahan.
You're going to hate me. I didn't see this one.
You didn't see it?
I skipped it. Sorry, I forgot to watch it.
How could you?
We'll do it next time. I'm really sorry. I totally forgot.
You told me
I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Add something else. My mistake.
Jump down to another episode. All right. Are you back? Okay, so, alright, we'll save that for another episode.
I will watch. I'm sorry I missed it on the list. It's been a little busy. Right. You made me watch a lot of stuff lately.
Alright.
I apologize.
Our last film then is 2010's Wall Street Money Never Sleeps, also known as Wall Street 2.
There must be, hold on, I feel bad. Can't we add something else that we both watched?
No, let's just do this.
Okay.
Directed by Oliver Stone, he reunites with Michael Douglas. And in this case, he adds Shia LaBeouf and Carey Mulligan as his daughter and his daughter's boyfriend. So, who else is in this? I can't believe Frank Langella is in this. And look at the cast list, he's really far down. But, who's the guy that played Jonah Hex?
Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin is in this movie.
He is.
Yeah. Alright, so global economy teeters on the brink of disaster. Young Wall Street trader partners with disgraced former Wall Street corporate raider Gordon Gekko, recently released from prison, on a two-tiered mission to alert the financial community to the coming doom and to find out who was responsible for the death of the young trader's mentor. Who was the mentor?
The mentor was Gordon Gekko.
No, but his mentor who died, was that Frank Langella?
That was Frank Langella, yes.
Right, I forgot. It's been a while. This was not what I was expecting.
Not at all.
You'd think, alright, so Gekko is out of prison. He can't even tie his shoes, right? He can't do anything. He writes a book. He's popular. His daughter wants nothing to do with him, but his daughter's boyfriend is, you know, kind of intrigued and pursues him for his own scheme. So, anyway, you know what? Michael Douglas was good in this, and it's his last movie, I think, before he had cancer.
Yep, I think you're right.
So, you know, I would say Shia LaBeouf, some people hate him, so if you hate him, don't see this movie.
Why do people hate him?
I don't know. So I've heard quite a few people remark that Shia LaBeouf is a bit of a doof.
Is it Shia? Is it Shiloh?
Shia, or whatever. I think it's pronounced Shay.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've never heard it said, so.
So, I don't know. Do you have anything to add on this one? Or?
Yeah, it's boring.
Kind of, yeah.
I hate Gary Mulligan as an actress. She bugs me.
Oh, I love Gary Mulligan.
See, there's one, see?
I because of an education, I like her in English movies.
Yeah,
when she does the American accent, not so much.
It doesn't work. Yeah. But you gotta get more into it. Don't they get Gordon Gekko back in the game?
They do.
And then he can.
Things get exciting when Gekko's back in, and then he kind of screws them over.
Yes. But
he gives them
an out.
She has the money.
Yes.
That he had from the original movie.
Yes.
Although the best scene in the movie is when he meets Charlie Sheen at a party.
Yes.
That was funny.
That was good.
Yeah.
But now I think this movie's pretty forgettable.
Yeah.
I don't know why it was ever made. I don't think it needed a sequel.
No, I don't think so. I think it's because Oliver Stone can't really get a movie made. So.
Well, there's a reason for that, Oliver. Your ego.
Yeah.
Well, I feel bad about not seeing Tropic Cancer. I'm sorry, Kev. I forgot.
I didn't see it.
I'll watch
it. Do you still have my movie, or is that yours?
I have my own copy. I don't know what you're talking about.
No idea.
So, I will watch it for the next one, I promise.
All right. Sounds good.
You have my word.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon, and this one's nice and short.
How short was this one?
This is good. You'll be happy. Okay. And if they make it...
somebody makes us watch it. Usually Bob.
Bob, I think, and watch it. Okay.
All right. See you next. They're all back for the next one.
Yay.
Okay.
Lots of dip.
Exciting.
Bye.